What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of the Rock Your Brand podcast. Today, we are going to be talking about some horrible advice that is still being given out there on the old interwebs on Etsy and what you should do as a new seller. And I really think that we need to address this. That's why we're doing that here today. And there's really five that we're going to be covering. And I really think that people need to be aware. I think instead of just listening to anyone out there, okay, because there's a lot of people that are sharing how to get started on Etsy, how to get started on Amazon, how to get started on, I don't know, fill in the blank. All right. And I'm not saying they're all wrong and we're right, because that's not how I roll. We're still learning, but we do always look at this as a business. And a lot of these so-called Etsy gurus, they don't look at it as a business, at least from what I'm seeing, because the advice that they're giving is not of a business owner or one that would be for the long haul. And again, I'm not going to sit here and point fingers. I'm not going to call anybody out directly. You may know of some of these, and there's new people popping in all the time. You're probably going to see a thumbnail of someone with a mug and with like $15,000 or $10,000 or $17,000, or maybe it's going to be a shirt. Now, I'm not saying that they're wrong for showing you that. Sure. Yeah. I would love to show you some products that are doing that too. I could pull up the computer right now and we can dig in and we can find products all day long. But does that mean that that's what we're going to do? Is we're going to go and take that design and we're going to launch a mug or a tumbler or a shirt, you know, or a sweatshirt or whatever it is? Are we going to do that? Are we all going to just jump on, do that to start? Like, to me, that's the worst advice I could give you, because everyone else is going to be doing it, because now this person is basically showing you, you should sell this big water jug. No, I don't want to do that. Sorry, I just touched the microphone really abruptly. So anyway, that's what we're going to be talking about. Might get a little heated here a little bit, not in a bad way, but we get excited about this because we get passionate about this. And we've been told that we're starting to raise our voices a little bit. And that may be true, but I need people to listen. And I need people to also realize that what you're seeing doesn't necessarily mean it's true. Okay. And I just want to put that out there. And you just have to be careful as far as what you are taking in as information and what you are believing that can actually be reality. Because there's a lot of new sellers right now that are coming in and they're going to be leaving, because they're going to be doing a lot of work, wasting a lot of time and probably some money, and they're going to be disappointed. And I want to try to help those people right now, even if I help them not waste the time. Like, if you're watching this and you're a new seller and you're like, thanks, Scott, I'm not doing that, then guess what? Mission accomplished. I at least helped you. Like, yes, I would love you to see our philosophy and our brand building strategy, but not necessarily where I have to convince you, because I think, you know, you think that you're going to be able to sell a mug and make $15,000 and your life is going to be just perfect. It's not the case. All right, Chris, I think I teed this thing up. We went on a little bit of a rant there. I didn't mean to, but it just happened. Sometimes that stuff just happens.
I think your whole point in that rant was, we're not saying that you can't sell these things. We're not saying that this advice doesn't come from a good place, or that the people giving this advice don't think that it's good advice. What we are saying is, these are the mistakes we see people making. And even though it might work for the short term, if you're not in this for a quick cash grab and you want to build something that will continue to bring you the returns on your investment of time and energy and, quite frankly, money, then you should avoid the things that we're going to be talking about, Scott. Is that an accurate recap of where you were going with that?
Yeah, it was. And that was a lot shorter. Awesome. So I appreciate that.
Well, I got to hear the whole thing, right?
Yeah. So that's what we're going to be talking about, guys. And we've got some other things that we're going to be covering here today in this live stream as well. But I think we should probably kick things off. let me do this though before I do. I'm just curious right now, if you're watching this, whether you're here live, whether you're on the replay, how many of you are brand new, or I would say under 3 months old as far as in this Etsy game? I'm just curious, because right now you might be just going down the road and you're like, you're taking in all of these bits of information. You're seeing this one pop up, that one pop up. And you know, there's a lot, like Chris said, there's a lot of good information too, but you have to take and think about what is best for you. But I'm here and Chris is here and we're hoping to be able to help you. And if you're a seasoned seller and you're frustrated and struggling, this will probably help you too. I know we do our Etsy shop audits. They come out every Thursday. So if you haven't subscribed to the channel, you might want to do so. But we have seasoned sellers that we do Etsy shop audits for. And a lot of times they were doing the, you know, the same approach that was being taught 3 years ago. And now they're kind of like, well, I don't know why I don't have a business. It's a lot of times because we're not doing what we're about to share with you, but also we're doing what is being presented, and we're trying to follow the same, you know, the same model. And that model just doesn't work. And I mean, do you really think that one product you're going to just home run and you're going to, you know, make your $1 million? You think that that's really how it's going to work? I mean, you know, it's easy to slap up a product. Soon as someone shows that product on a video, everyone's going to go run and do it. You should probably not do that. Now, should you pay attention to it and say, oh, I see mugs are selling. Cool. Okay. Maybe I could put that into my niche and create a product, a unique product that people would buy that's on a mug. Sure. I'm not saying don't sell mugs. I'm just saying, like, don't look at what's being shown as that's the entire thing, because it's not. All right. So with that being said, I'm going to pull up my handy dandy little notebook, Blue's Clues reference there. For any of you that are with me on that, I've got a son who's 26, just turned 26, and he was a big Blue's Clues kid. So yeah, don't forget that handy dandy notebook. Let me know in the comments. Anybody remember Blue's Clues? Just curious. All right, let's get into it. So the first thing, you guys probably know what I'm going to say if you have been around me for any period of time, and Chris and I, we both agree on this. And the advice that's being said to do is sell in multiple niches. Like, don't pigeonhole yourself to one niche. You want to be able to have a store that you could launch something in weddings, and you want something in babies, and you want something in fishing, and you want something in the surfer. You fill in the blank, like your shop, you should be able to just throw a whole bunch of stuff in there. And that's how you're going to be able to build this successful business. Multiple niches. Go after it. Go after all of them. Go after all the ones that are doing real well. And if a new one comes in, do that one too. That's the advice that's still to this day being talked about. And to me, that's not a business. It's really not a business. Because if you think about it, and this is how I always think about it, if you're putting the time and the energy into something, do you want to build something that will be here today, here in 6 months, a year, 2 years? Do you want to build something that you also can have repeat customers? Like, do you think someone's going to come into your random niche shop, all right, kind of like a t-shirt shop on the boardwalk, and you walk in there and you see the, you know, buy three, get one free? Do you think that person's going to remember you? Do you think that person is going to come back and go, I got to go back to that t-shirt shop. It was really good brand. No, no. They might buy that one shirt for that one occasion. They're not going to remember you. And now, especially with, well, Amazon's merch, I mean, that's blowing up anyway. That's been blowing up. You got those guys to contend with, right? Then who else we got now? Temu? Anybody hear of them? Yeah. Yeah. They're coming. I think they spent like $2 billion last year on Facebook only. Just that one platform. Just that one little platform. $2 billion. We got to start thinking about building a brand. We got to think about focusing on a niche. We got to think about repeat customers. That's what business is. right? If you have a business, you want repeat customers. I just had an air conditioning unit put in my home. And that's what they specialize in, air conditioning, heating, okay? Now, how would they turn me into a repeat customer? Service plan, come out every year, clean every 6 months, and I'm going to sign up for a yearly membership on that. So you see, they even have repeat customer built in. They're not selling me a t-shirt, but they're selling me something else that I'm going to need in the future. So we always have to be thinking about that. We have to be thinking about who are we targeting and how can we sell more to that customer? You guys have heard me say this before, and I'm going to keep saying it because I know that it needs to be said over and over and over again. Who's with me? Anybody with me here? Leave in the comments if you agree with my methodology and Chris's methodology or our philosophy, or do you think that you just want to build a business selling random stuff? I'm just curious. What camp are you in? Chris, anything you want to speak to on that before we move on to number two?
So, Scott, we got a YouTube comment last week that I wanted to address because it plays right into this. He said, okay, I totally disagree with you on the niche-based approach, and I'm going to get your feedback on this. Mm-hmm. Because if I buy a t-shirt for my uncle and really like the quality, then I'm going to go back and I'm going to buy a t-shirt for my son and my nephew and all of these other people. What is your response to that? So they come to your random t-shirt shop and they buy a t-shirt once. And then if they really, really like it, then they're obviously going to come back to you. So what is your response to that? Because it is possible, but how do we view that versus the pure niche-based approach that you and I typically advocate for and we're talking about here?
Yeah. Well, I would say this. I agree that, okay, that person might say, I really like that. But now, do you realize how many designs you're going to have, how many different products you're going to have, and if you are having your own inventory, how much inventory you're going to have? Do you realize how many more headaches you would have? Just that alone would steer me away. Okay? So I'm not saying that one person can't go, oh, I got that one funny t-shirt for Uncle Bob. I want to go back now next year and get something for Sue. I don't think that's as likely as someone saying, I bought a shirt for a gift for a cat lover that I know. And then you're like, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and probably buy something in the future for that cat lover because they're in my life, or other people that are in my life that are cat lovers, or you sell directly to the cat lover and now you're able to sell them over and over and over again. And I have a greater chance of adding more things that customer could buy at the same time. Would you rather sell one t-shirt or would you rather sell five? That's what we're talking about. So I know that there's two sides to that, and I'm not saying the other won't work. To me, way messier. I can't really build a customer base. So you build an email list with that one guy that bought that one shirt. You send out an email once a week. How do you know what they might want to buy next? A random shirt on bass fishing, and then a random shirt on bowling, and then a random shirt on something else. Like, it's very hard to do any type of marketing to that person other than we've got new funny shirts in stock, you know, or new designs. So that's kind of where I would debate on that.
I think that really is the key to the reason we push back on this. Is there a possibility they're going to come back and buy from you again? Absolutely. It doesn't matter what you sell. There's a possibility somebody could come back. But Scott, I think the customer discoverability side of this, or the finding the right product in your shop, becomes much more difficult if you're trying to be everything to everybody. So let's go back to that example. He buys a t-shirt for his uncle that his uncle really likes, and he's very happy with the quality. Cool. Now, instead of just coming back to your store because he knows that his uncle loves bass fishing and that he loved the quality of your stuff before, that everything in your shop could potentially appeal to his uncle, he has to come back to your shop and then try to find a t-shirt that is not only the same, you know, make and model, for lack of a better term, the same quality, but that also appeals to his nephew, which means you have to launch a buttload more products, because the chances that his uncle and his father are really, really, really into all of the same things and that the same exact t-shirt is going to be the thing that he comes back and buys are very small. And if we're able to come at this with a niche-based approach, then we know when he comes back, every single item in the store is a potential gift for his uncle. I would rather have that than have the customer digging through for 2 hours to try to find the right t-shirt for their nephew and then get frustrated and leave. And so it's about the product selection and the ease of them being able to find things. If they remember, okay, Chris's Bass Fishing Depot on Etsy was a smashing hit, a home run with my uncle, they're going to come back. And it doesn't matter what they see, as long as it's something that the uncle would be mildly interested in, they already know that it's going to be related to bass fishing and that the quality is good. So we have a much higher chance of selling and repeat selling. And Scott, to your point, selling multiple items even in the same transaction because everything is related and everything is a potential gift or purchase for themselves if that's who's buying. So using the niche-based approach eliminates a lot of those variables.
Yep. Yeah. And again, we could spend the entire time on this, but we're not going to because we got to keep moving. But yeah, and there's a bunch of people in the comments that are saying like they started with that approach and now they're starting to niche down. They're starting to build a brand. And the thing is like, I want to leave this part here with this being said is if you think about it, do you want to build a customer base over time that you can sell things to over and over and over again, or have the potential to? Like, if yes, then doing the spaghetti at the wall approach is probably not going to be a great way to build a customer base of people that are interested in a certain topic, right? Because it's just not going to be there. So I would just leave you with that. And if you're thinking about building a business, not just on Etsy, but a business, the best way to do it is to really target one type of person or what they're into. And then from there, sell them things now, but well into the future. So, and you just build that customer base and then you get repeat customers and then you can email market and you can do all of the different things that we talk about here on this channel. All right. So let's move on real quick. And the second thing, okay, is, and this is obvious to me to not do this, but it's still being said to do it. And I've seen it. Like literally said like, yeah, these are trending. You should go ahead and copy this design and, you know, create your own and post it. And then all of a sudden, guess what? That product that you found that no one else is selling right now, everyone's going to sell it because everyone knows about it, right? And so if you, and I've seen this before, actually, I've seen this before in the past where we were teaching content creation and blogging, okay? And I created a website. I shared it publicly in a group, not publicly, but publicly in a group, in a closed group. And didn't someone in that group just go out and blatantly copy every single thing that I did? Almost the same titles, almost the same verbiage, like everything. It's going to happen if you put yourself out there and you say, hey, so I would never come on here and go, hey guys, this, you know, kitty is selling really good on this mug and they're really great and people are loving these colors. And, you know, if you really want to tap in on this, you got to get on this. Like, I would never do that. Like, why would I? Number one, why would I want that for you? Because I know the minute I'm showing you that, everyone's going to do it. Now, to show it as an example, like, hey, this is what's possible. Now start thinking outside the box a little bit. Start thinking, how can you adapt this to your niche, right? And that's where I would use that. So copying random products that are selling because you see that, and I don't mean seeing what you're doing in your own research. I'm saying seeing it being, you know, talked about. And then you're being like, oh, I'm going to get in on that. So what's really cool about when you are building a brand, when you are focused on a niche, you can look at that and go, oh, there's a mug. Okay, mugs are selling. Wow. Peep, there's that much volume for just that one niche that they're showing. There's $15,000. I wonder if there's something I could create for my niche and put it on a mug. Okay, so now let me see if anybody else is doing it. Oh, there is someone doing it. Oh, what are they doing? Oh, they're doing this. They're doing a funny saying. Oh, cool. Something about cats or something, right? And then you're getting a little bit of intel, but then you could just launch that product and it might work for you. Okay, because you've already seen, well, it's working over in this other niche. Could I create something that would work in my niche? That's how I would use that. But I would never tell you to create a design, put it on a Tumblr and start selling Tumblrs. Like you're going to look at it right now, listings. There's probably 10 listings. You go back a month later, there's 1,000 listings. You can SEO to death. it ain't gonna work. All right. So I would say that's a common thing that I'm seeing, and I still see it. And I just can't believe that I see it. And it's not even more with the seasoned Etsy gurus doing it. It's more new people coming in because they're seeing that the Etsy gurus are doing it. So they're like, well, let me start a YouTube channel and let me show people how they can find a product. And then let me find them a product with a design holding the same thumbnail, right? And we'll do that, right? So yeah, you got to be careful on that. But that's something that I would definitely avoid is, once again, like, random products don't have any purpose. And just because they're selling well, because someone showed you that they're selling well, like, copying those products. So again, if you're a new seller, please don't do that. Please.
I want to clarify something here, Scott, and you got to this at the end of that statement. We see, like, Etsy put out their five trends for spring or five trends for summer, right?
Yeah.
There's nothing inherently wrong with looking at a trend and implementing a trend in your shop. And the one that was really hot last year was comfort colors, right? Everybody wanted to launch comfort colors, but we're not just going to throw a bunch of comfort colors in our store because that's something that's trending, and we're not going to throw a design that we see that's selling well into our store. That's actually the freedom that we open up when we look at this only through the blinded lens of having a niche-based approach. When we look at a product, we don't have to go, oh, I'm just going to copy that. We go, how can I make this work for bass fishing? Oh, okay, they're using a funny saying to your point. It's a dancing avocado mug that's selling really well. Let's make a dancing fish mug and see if that works with our niche. And we're able to take things that are working, create a unique approach to them that will allow us to rank in Etsy search and will sell those products, as long as we're coming at it from that angle. So there's nothing inherently wrong with looking at trends, with looking at other products and other niches that are selling, but we have to remember we need to make those our own, and that's the only way those kinds of things are going to work.
If you want tips and strategies on how to start, grow, and monetize your business online, check out the Digital Revolution podcast with Eli Adams. We interview digital experts from around the world that share their personal stories. They talk about what they're currently working on and where they see the future going. But most importantly, they share tactics in their specific area of expertise with the hope of helping you improve your digital presence online. You can listen to the Digital Revolution podcast on YouTube, Spotify, Apple, iHeartRadio, or simply click on the link in the show notes below.
Yeah. Okay. So we got a lot of comments coming in here. So let us know in the comments. We've got some people in there that are being very open and honest and saying, yeah, that was me. That's what I was doing. I was basically just launching random stuff and praying that it'll sell. Because everyone else was doing it. So let us know in the comments, have you fallen prey to that? And it's okay if you have. It's okay to course correct. I mean, we do that a lot with our Etsy shop audits. Is, you know, we have sellers that come in and then we work with them and we kind of identify, like, go here. This is a great lane to go in and build out a brand. And the thing is it's not easy. I don't want you to think that it's easy. I don't want you to think that running a business is easy. Okay, because it's not. All right. But is it worth it? Sure. If you're built for being a business owner, then it's definitely worth it. Some people do it. They find out, you know what? I'd rather just be a W-2 employee. Nothing wrong with that. Okay. But it is hard. And building a business takes time. It's not something you're going to do in 6 months. And all of a sudden you've got this thriving business that's going to basically take off. It doesn't work like that. It takes time. It takes effort. But that's why if you're starting from zero, or you start at zero after you pivot, you still have a lot of time. But if you're always focusing on moving forward with the brand and building out products for a specific customer, building the email list, building the customer base, great customer support, repeat, repeat, repeat. That's what we want. Okay. So anyway, let's move on. So the third is, and I saw this in the comments earlier already, and I didn't even bring it up, launching thousands of products. Like, just launch, 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 spit them out, spit them out, spit them out. That's what they want you to do. Like, that's how you're going to do it. You're going to basically do that. And eventually you're going to get one that's going to take. So now it's a matter of low quality, because there's no way that you can create that many designs and put them out and just keep pumping them out, pumping them out, pumping them out. You just can't. It's just not possible. So, and do you want the mess that you're creating in that shop and in your Printify, if you're using Printify, do you want the mess? That's just, you're just throwing stuff in there again, hoping and praying. And the thing is, you're going to do that. And most likely, I can't guarantee it, but I'm going to say pretty strong chance that you're probably going to have all those listings in there and you're probably not going to get many sales. Just isn't going to work, because then you're going to be like, well, I got all these products. I've got thousands of products in there. Why isn't anything selling? Be blunt, because they probably suck. I've said this before and I've talked about it. It's like, design is everything in this pod business. Like, you have to have good designs. You have to have design, not just skills, but you have to have a design eye. And it's like, if you're not spending time to create a really good design, no one's going to want to buy it. You can have all the products out there. You can have all the listings out there that you want, but you aren't getting any sales, but you got all those listings. There's a good chance they just aren't good. All right. So that's another big mistake that I'm hearing people. I'd rather you do 30 products and just really get those designs locked in and then get good at that and then put out something really, really nice. We actually just did an Etsy shop audit. It aired actually this past Thursday. And she does really, really good design work. And she, you can tell she spends time on putting these designs together and it's paid off. I don't think she's even a year in yet. And she had an amazing Q4. The reason is because she has good designs. They're really good. And she's got a good eye for it. If you guys missed that audit, you can find that on the YouTube channel. We'll also link it up in the description so you can check that out. But yeah, I mean, design is everything. And if you just slap stuff up and put 1,000, 2,000 listings up there, you think you're going to get one to take, probably won't work. You're just going to waste a lot of time. So that's another big one. Chris, anything on that?
If you're following 1 and 2, then yes, Scott, you do have to launch 100 products. And if you remember like 2 years ago, they were saying you got to launch 100 products before you're going to have one. And then it snuck up to 1,000 somehow. That's and crazy. I think part of that came out of AI, right? They're like, oh, well, if I can upload 1,000 designs to a CSV and then have Canva just pump through all of the different iterations, then if I launch 1,000, I'll have one that hits. But that also means that you have 999 that you've spent the 20 cents to list that are a complete and utter waste of time, energy, and effort, and no one's ever going to buy your seat. So would you rather save that extra, 20 cents times 900 listings. Let's just say you have 100 out of those 1,000 that do really well. Would you rather save that money and invest that in driving traffic to a product you know is going to sell, to a product that actually has a chance? That's a better use of that extra money, even at only 20 cents a listing. Not to mention the time, energy, and effort and utter mess, as Sherry Poppins pointed out, that you run into when you just launch products at the wall. And Scott, you said, I think, spaghetti at the wall. The phrase I like a little bit more is spray and pray, right? We're just going to blanket everything and see what happens.
Everything.
If you had a bucket of paint and you threw it at the wall, would you get some paint on the wall?
Yeah.
Would you cover the wall in paint? No, right? You're going to have one big splash right across the middle, and then you're going to have white spots on the top and bottom, and it's going to look like a mess. And that's exactly what you're doing when you're focusing on launching quantity over quality. If we can focus on creating good designs that we know are going to sell because we've already done the market research, we can completely cover that wall with paint and we don't have to focus on just design, 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 design. We can focus on the things that drive sales over the long term.
Yeah, no, I love that. And actually, who was it here? Ballard Computer Solutions. I was making 3 to 5 a day before I would go to bed. I had a mess too, so I deleted 450 designs and rebranded my shop. Good for you. I like that because, I've been hearing even now where they're saying like you got to launch like at least one a day so that way their Etsy knows, that your shop's active and all of this stuff. And I don't really think that's the case. You know, a lot of times what we're having people do is focusing on like 5 really good in-demand product and designs and then letting those kind of drive the business. And then bringing people into your shop. And then you can have some of those lower demand type products that you want to put in there because now we got people in the shop. It's kind of like that's how we're getting our traffic. And man, I'd rather spend time on that than have to go and launch 1,000 new designs. That just sounds so overwhelming. And I don't know. I really don't think that it's a great strategy. Sounds like a mess. All right. So let's move on. The fourth piece of advice that we hear out there is you need to master SEO. And the way that you master SEO is, yes, you're going to have a good title, which I agree with, by the way, as far as you do need some optimization going on. You need good title, you need good images, you need good description. Okay. And you know, you want to make sure you have good tags. Okay. That's the basics. I mean, that's a given. But here's where I have a little bit of a rub. Find keywords that no one else is using right now, and then you're going to be able to be on top in the search results. Let me just tell you something. There's not any keywords out there that are not found, that aren't being shown for. And if you were to get the first position on that keyword, I would be willing to bet it probably only gets 5 searches a day, if that. Right. So it's like everyone wants you to, and you know, I'm not going to mention any names either. There's some tools out there too. And it's like, find these keywords that are not in your listing. Find keywords that are in, for the most part, there's going to be probably a handful of keywords that are driving the bulk of the traffic. And we're talking organic. Okay. If we get into paid, well, then yeah, we want to optimize. We want to have the right tags and stuff. But you're still going to be showing up for a lot of various keywords because Etsy is going to try to push that product. But you're not going to like spending all of this time, hours upon hours, looking and trying to find a keyword that no one else has found yet. Waste of time. It's my opinion, but I'm going to stick with that. Wait, waste of time. Okay. I would much rather you spend the time on getting sales, not necessarily trying to find that keyword. And here's why. Because the biggest thing that Etsy weights on their algorithm, now I can't say this for sure because I'm not buddies with Josh Silverman. I wish I was because I want to get him on the line here because we want to know about a lot of stuff that's going on over there, which if anybody is listening or watching and has direct access to him or someone on his team, please put us in touch. I'd love to have a chat. But the main thing that's driving, and this makes sense now. I mean, think about this with your common sense hat on. Like, let's put that on. Let's put our common sense hat on for a second. If you were Etsy and you had products that were similar in, let me take that back. All the titles were the same. They're identical. They're going after best personalized cat lover gift. That's the main one. And everyone that is searching for that, that's the biggest keyword. That's the one that's going to drive a bulk of the sales, all the traffic. That's the one. Okay. Everyone is competing for that same one. Okay. So let's say that there's 200 listings that are sharing that same keyword. Okay. What is Etsy going to look at the most? Okay. The number one thing, what are they going to look at? That's going to probably decide, okay, how they're going to get them to number one or on the first page. It's pretty much what is selling the best. And we can look at conversion rate too, because we can say, well, this one here is selling well, and this one here is selling well. Now, how do they decide? Now they're going to look at conversion rate. Now they're going to look at, okay, well, 100 people visited here and it converted at 1%, got one sale. And this one here is getting 100 views and it sold 3. So it's 3% conversion rate. Which one then are they going to put up at the top? The one that's getting 3%. Etsy wants to put the products in front of the people that's going to sell the best, right? And so that's what they're looking at. They don't care about that little miscellaneous keyword that you found that you might make it up in there and you're like, cool, I'm number one. And you do a little search in the incognito window on Google and you're like, yes, I made it. I'm there. But why aren't I getting any sales? Because it's a keyword that's barely even used. So let me ask you, are you focusing a lot of time and energy on SEO right now? I'm just curious. Now, I'm not saying it's not important. Put it in the comments. Let me know. Let's let's hear from you. I want to get a little back and forth here. SEO is important. It is. We actually have a whole guide on it. Free, by the way. If you want that guide, SEO in the comments, we'll send you a copy of it. But yeah, SEO, it's important, but to a degree. It's like, do your stuff, do your normal stuff, and then done with it. You don't have to go there and keep massaging it. You don't need to, okay? Not unless you notice that your competitor is now using a different keyword and they're crushing it, then you're like, maybe I missed a keyword here, okay? But that's it. Other than that, get sales. Focus on getting sales, okay? Well, how do I get sales if I can't get search traffic? We've talked about this. Use some Etsy ads. Get yourself some sales. Get yourself, you know, some reviews. Get your conversion rate up. Got an email list? Send an email. Discount your price. I mean, we've talked about all this stuff on the channel. If you guys missed it, make sure that you go to the playlist with how to get sales on Etsy. You know, we'll link everything up in the description. Anyway, Chris went on a little bit of a rant there. But yeah, mastering the SEO thing. Spending too much time finding those hidden, those secret keywords.
Is SEO important? Yes. Are keywords the answer to your SEO problems? Probably not. Scott, you and I have gone on this rant probably 20 times, and I know I just raised my voice a little bit because this one really drives me nuts. Or to quote our friends over at Family Guy, really grinds my gears, right? This one makes me crazy. If I told you I could rank, Scott, for a keyword on the first page in Google between today and tomorrow, do you think that's possible?
If you're changing between today and tomorrow?
Yeah. So I create a blog post today to rank number one for a keyword on Google tomorrow. Yep. Is that possible? Yes.
No.
However,
well, it is, but it isn't. It, yeah.
Right. 15% of all daily Google searches, which is 1.25.
The keyword's that long.
Billion.
I wanted to put that in there. Right. Is that kind of where you're going?
1.25 billion Google searches a day are brand new, right? No one's ever, can you rank first for that? Yeah. Does anybody care?
Yeah.
No, because it's the first time since 1997 that someone has ever typed that into the Google search engine.
Right.
So it's probably going to be the last time for another 23 years, if I can do math, right? Just because we can rank at the top for a specific keyword doesn't mean that it means anything for our business.
Exactly.
Are keywords important? To a point. We have to use the keywords to pass the yes or no binary test for Etsy about whether we are relevant or not. If we pass that test, if I have dancing avocado mug, which I guess is this side, dancing avocado mug in my listing, and Scott has dancing avocado mug in his listing, we both pass that test. Awesome. How does Etsy decide? They look at sales and conversion rate. The job of any search engine is to provide you with the result that most completely answers your question. In the case of Google, that's the blog post or the news article that stops you from coming back to Google. In the case of Etsy, that's the product listing that results in you making a purchase. So the more you can focus on the purchases, the better off you are. Are we saying, Scott, that you should never go back once you've created that first good whack at a listing, that you should never go back and correct your keywords? No, but we're going to do that from a data perspective. We're going to look at our Etsy ads data, see what's selling. We're going to look at the still beta search analytics report and see what keywords are driving sales and traffic and focus our listing around those. Yep. And those are the changes we should make. But we shouldn't be focusing on going in, testing and tweaking our title, testing and tweaking our tags all of the time. If we spend an extra 5 minutes when we first create that listing to get it 80% of the way there, that's going to get us almost all of the results that we need to understand if we're ranking for the right keywords. We got to understand we're not going to start at the top of the page. And if we do, there's probably not any demand for it.
Yep.
So we should be going after the keywords that are in demand and focusing on improving that conversion rate. Focus on improving how many people click to your listing. Focus on how many sales you're getting. Focus on the traffic driving in the marketing side of this, which is the least sexy, right? From a, let's just launch stuff. Yeah. Like, it doesn't sound like a solution to the problem. Going in and tweaking your keywords sounds like a solution to the problem, but it's really not. It's about focusing your listing on what creates the conversion. And if you can create conversions, Etsy will rank you for more and more things that you might not think based on the keywords you should rank for, but they know based on their internal data that you are the person who is most likely to sell for that keyword. They're going to put your listing up for that.
Yeah, and I just want to throw this up here real quick. Sherry Poppins says, SEO in collab with design and niche focus is the real ticket, I think. Yeah, with one caveat, okay? One little thing. You have to make sure demand is validated first. Okay. And that's something else that we do on our Etsy shop audits, is we really drive into and drill into, I should say, into the, you know, the demand of certain products. And then that comes with the keywords or what is being searched for. So it's always there. Like if there's no demand, you can SEO it all you want. You can have it niche down, all that. But if it doesn't have demand, you're not going to be getting any views anyway.
And I think where a lot of the confusion comes in is when most people say Etsy and SEO together, what they mean are keywords. And keywords are one very small fraction of what leads you to rank on Etsy. But that's where everybody focuses because that's the easiest thing to do. And it's the thing that has the most data associated with it. There's all kinds of tools. Everbee has it. All of the other people, Allura, everybody who has a tool for Etsy has some sort of a keyword tool or a tag discovery tool because it's an easy thing to grasp. But it's the smallest thing you should be worried about when it comes to SEO. The thing to focus on is traffic and conversions.
Yep. Love it. Okay, cool. Let's move on. We got more to cover here. Okay, so the last thing is, and the last piece of advice, I mean, there's more, but we're only going to cover these five because these are the most important. This here's a little disturbing, actually. And I'm not gonna say where I actually saw this, but it was brought to my attention from a subscriber, and they emailed me and said, "Hey, did you see so and so?" And this was an Etsy education. I don't want to say channel, but they're a company. So I'm just going to leave it at that. All right. But they were advising them to do what I'm about to share with you. And that is create duplicate listings to test titles and images. Anyone doing this? I'm raising my hand. Not that I did it, but has anybody done this? That right there, terrible advice. And I mean, Etsy specifically says that you shouldn't be doing that. And the only time that you would be doing that is if you have a different product or if you wanted to take your variations and create separate ones, that's fine, right? If you wanted to list your red shirt and then a green shirt and a brown shirt, you can do that. Okay. I don't know why you would, but you could. Okay. But you can't take the same red shirt, change the title, and then do it again. Like it's against terms of service. It's the same product. You can't do that. Even if you could do it, it's not a good thing to do because now you're competing with yourself, right? And the logic is, well, some traffic's going to see one, some traffic's going to see the other. And now I can test and see what's doing better. Well, a better way of doing this is just change the title, wait, and track your metrics, and then do it another 7 days and wait and see, right? And do one thing at a time. But yeah, I was blown away that this is actually being done. So in the comments, let me know, has anybody done this? And again, maybe you did, you thought it was okay. Or have you heard other people telling people to do this? I'm just curious. But that one there is a no, I would not do that. And if you're a new Etsy seller, please don't fall into these hacks because they could get you in trouble. And also it's going to make your account very, very messy. And you're going to pay for that listing fee too.
If you thought I got hot about the last one, this one drives me
oh insane. Boy.
And it's for the same reason.
Someone call the fire department.
I'm not going to go on a full rant about this. You guys can watch some of the other videos where I've lost my mind on this. But Scott, the only reason I can think of that people think that this is a good idea is because they fall victim to what we just talked about with number four, where they say the key to sales on Etsy is finding the perfect keyword. And if you come at it with that approach, I can understand how you get to this perspective. The problem with it is you're losing out on the other 90%, 99.9% of things that influence where and how you rank. The better way to approach this is to look at the data on the listing that you have. And I'm struggling. And if somebody in the comments, Scott, can come up with a good example of when the keyword would be so different for the same product that you might want to test this, because there's no way Etsy could associate those two keywords. I'd love to see the examples in the comments down below where you think this might be an appropriate thing. But in most cases, let's say bass fishing t-shirt is what we're selling. I can't think of a single combination of bass, fish, fishing, and t-shirt where the title of two listings would be so different that Etsy wouldn't be able to do what they do when they break down titles and look at every word individually and then say, oh, fishing is also fish, is also fishes, is also fished, right? They look at all of the different variations of those words to determine whether or not you should rank. Plurals, misspellings, all of those kinds of things. If they weren't doing that, then maybe there could be some extra data that you would gather. But if the reason that you're doing this is to see how well you will sell when you rank for a specific keyword, you can already get that data from your beta search analytics report, because they're going to show you for every variation of bass, fishing, and t-shirt, or from your ads data, where they're also going to show you for every variation of bass, fishing, and t-shirt. So if you find that somehow there's a better combination of those words because of the data, then just change your title and you're done. You don't have to split off the other 99% of signals between two listings where they're looking at click-through rate, they're looking at traffic, they're looking at conversion rate, they're looking at sell-through, they're looking at all of these things. And when you split that data up, you not only create a mess for yourself, but you reduce the chance that you will secure a position in the search results because you're splitting that data between two listings or among three or more, depending on who you listen to that advocates for this. And I just don't get it. I'd rather see you have all of that data in one place and be able to make an intelligent decision and have a higher chance of ranking than splitting that up. Again, if you guys can think of a situation where the title would be so drastically different that there's no way Etsy could say these are the same keywords or they mean the same thing, let me know in the comments. But I haven't found one yet.
Chris, so this is interesting. So Claudia said, I think Etsy did say you can do this in a recent SEO webinar. It was so you could create a specific gift category. Maybe I misunderstood.
So they do allow you, if you want to duplicate a listing, that part of it is not specifically against the terms of service. And actually, if you had five of these mugs, you could technically create five different listings. The only good argument that I've heard for this is that then you could list it in different categories in the store. The vast majority of sales are not coming from the store categories. They're coming from the search. Once somebody has purchased from you, then yeah, but they're just going to go to the search inside your store and type in avocado mug and find it, right? Or they're going to go back to their purchase history and do that. The reason this gets advocated is not to make your store better for people. It's to rank for different search terms. All you're doing is splitting up all of the data that Etsy wants when you do that. So there's zero reason in my mind to do this. Again, if somebody can come up with a compelling use case, I'd love to hear it beyond the, you know, putting it in two categories. The better way to solve that would just be to allow me to put the listing in multiple categories. And then
I was just going to say, Chris, like, okay, so if that is true, which we don't know it is, but if that is true, it's still bad advice directly from Etsy, because like you said, all your data now is going to be split. So if you have four sales on this one and three sales on this one and no sales on this one, it's like there, it's all over the place. So you don't know what the data, but like you said, Chris, any tool out there or any Shopify, you can list your product in multiple categories by checking a couple boxes. And here's the deal. So you're paying 20 cents so you can create another listing. And then, so Etsy's going to charge you to put it in another category. That's what it sounds like to me, if that's true, which is weird.
And it's something that is something they've talked about. And I don't remember if it was Etsy directly or if it was when they had on, you know, some of the Etsy sellers that they allow to give. But if what you're worried about is selling more, I would focus less on having it in the right category inside of the store and more on having it rank properly in search. And if that's our focus, which is where 99.9% of people are concerned about this and where they're doing that, then we should be making data-driven changes. This sounds like real marketing and nerdy, data-driven changes. We should be looking at the information that Etsy gives us about how many impressions we get on specific, how many clicks come from that, and how many sales come from that. We get all of that data. So if we want to reorganize that listing, we can do that. We don't have to split that data between or among multiple listings, which reduces our chance to do the thing that we're trying to do to begin with when we split those listings up, because we're reducing the number of clicks, we're reducing the number of sales, and we're reducing that conversion rate because we're splitting it between or among multiple listings.
Yeah. And Michelle says they did. They said to duplicate the listing to put it in multiple categories. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard, that they won't let you just check a box and put it in another category. And then you would have to do that. It's still, it's dumb advice. It's bad advice. I would not do that. so I could have it in another category. It just makes
and note
makes no sense.
Note their rationale, Scott. Etsy's rationale was not duplicate it so that you can rank for more keywords. That's not what they were saying. What they were saying was, if you want to have it multiple categories in your shop, go ahead. They're not even trying to imply what all of the Etsy SEO gurus try to imply with this, which is you're going to rank for more stuff. Yeah, obviously you are if you have vastly different things. But I can't think of a situation, and again, correct me in the comments if I'm wrong on this, where the same product, this green-ish, I don't know, it's like mint chocolate chip colored Under Armour t-shirt, I can't come up with a combination of keywords for this that would rank me so differently that Etsy would be confused and suddenly I would get more traffic by duplicating that. If you can, let me know in the comments. I'd love to see the use case for it.
Yeah, Marissa says, here's another fun piece of terrible advice I saw on a video. Don't worry about if something is trademarked. Just put those keywords in your tags instead of your title so you don't get caught. Yikes. yeah. Okay. We won't go any deeper on that one, but yeah, that's some not good advice. So we don't want to do that. So if you want to potentially get your account suspended or maybe, you know, permanently banned, that might be the advice you'd take. But I don't think you want to do that, especially if you're trying to do this to make some money. So anyway, yeah. So yeah, Liz, it is wild. All right, cool. So let's wrap this part up here. And let me just kind of do a little bit of a recap. And we're talking more about like what we should do, you know, what should we be doing, you know, moving forward. So here are the five things that new Etsy sellers need to know and to avoid. The very first thing is going after multiple niches. Now, I'm not saying that strategy can't work for some, but what I will say is if you're looking to build a business, definitely not good advice. All right. Because here's the deal. When we're building a business, we want to get a customer and we want that customer to buy more than one thing, not some random stuff like at a thrift store or at a t-shirt shop along Boardwalk. We want them to come into our shop. We want them to shop around. We want them to put more things into their cart that are related to what they just purchased. And we want to build a customer base. That's really what we're trying to do here. We're building a real, legitimate business. We're also thinking outside of Etsy. If we want to build a Shopify store, we can do that. If we want to sell on Amazon, we can do that. We can go to other platforms. We want to be able to build a brand. And that's what we've always been focusing on. So that, to me, selling in multiple niches is just going to make it really, really scattered and hard to build a good, solid brand with repeat customers. The second thing that I've been seeing that is bad advice out there is that you should just copy the best-selling products, the designs, and just copy them. And in some cases, I've even heard people say, even if they're trademarked, don't worry about it. No one's going to catch you. You know, even though Taylor Swift has already, you know, went after people or her, you know, her team did. And, you know, I think shut people down. And I think there was another couple of cases where people got sued. There was a lawsuit, all kinds of things. Do you want to be part of that? I don't. So copying trademarked or non-trademarked, just something that's selling and doing that just because it's selling and don't care about if it goes with your niche or if it's going to help your brand. You don't care. You're just looking at it and going, well, this person said that this tumbler is selling with this design. I'm just going to put that in my store too. What's next? All right. So that's the second thing. The third thing is you got to launch a whole bunch of products, tons of products, thousands of products. Do 3 to 5 a day if you can. The more products, the better. And this is bad advice because of this. Do you think your quality is going to be good? Probably not. So then what's going to happen? Even if someone stumbles across your listing, are you going to sell? Probably not, because the thumbnail is probably awful. The design is probably awful and no one's going to buy it. So here you are doing all of this work because you're told I got to launch a whole bunch of products. I got to get them in there. That's how Etsy's going to see me. No, Etsy's going to see you because you have good products with good support and you have good sales velocity. And how do you get that? By having good products and having products that have demand. Okay. And then build your business, build your brand around that. Okay. So that's number three. Number four, focus on those hidden secret keywords, the SEO stuff. No, there's no hidden keywords that are not, that haven't been found. They're already found. Okay. And here's the deal. Even if you found that keyword that no one else is using, guess what? There's probably a reason because no one else is using it either. You want to use keywords. There's probably going to be a handful. There might be 5 to 10 keywords that are going to drive all of your traffic. And you're not going to find those hidden secret keywords. And that's what the Etsy guru, some of them out there are telling people to do. Yeah, just keep drilling and keep finding that one nugget. That way there, you're not going to be competing with everyone else. Not good advice. Okay. If you want to get SEO to work for you, you find good products that have good demand. You find 5 to 10 keywords that are driving a bulk of that traffic, and then you get sales. When you get sales, you're going to be showing Etsy, hey, this product is selling. They want to promote products that are selling. They want to push it up in the algorithm as well. Why? Because it's selling and they want to get more sales just like you do. Okay. They're all about whatever gets more sales, they're going to push in the algorithm. So don't worry about finding 500 keywords or finding that one little nugget that you might have forgot or you lost. You're going to know. Look at your competition. You can look at the competition. You can go, they're selling 10 a day, 20 a day. Let me look at their title. Let me look at their tags. That's all you need to know. Because whatever's there, the only thing that's missing for you is sales. And that's what you got to get. Okay. So that is number four. Number five, and the last one, trying to game the Etsy algorithm or trying to game the system. And what I mean by that is these hacks. And there's one hack that I recently heard of, and I shared it here before, and that is just go ahead and duplicate your listings. That way they're, number one, you have more out there, and you can now test your title, you can test your pricing, and you can play around with different things, and you can do like a little bit of a split test. Now, I did hear that Etsy actually said that you can duplicate your listings, but not for that purpose. It was more or less so you could put it in different categories. I still don't get that. Why can't Etsy just allow us to put one product into 4 different categories? I don't know. Etsy's going to charge us every time we list a product. So are they doing it because they want to make more money? They don't make a ton on their listing fee. I don't think so. I just don't know if their coder is really up to speed yet. If the coder is watching this, please, there's a way to do that. And you probably know how. Checkbox, how many categories you want this one product to go in. Pretty simple. If that's actually what's happening. But the gurus out there are telling you to do it because they want you to test different titles and your SEO stuff and your pricing, and then you're getting more data. I don't want to split the data. I want one listing and I want all the traffic to go through it, and I'll run my tests on that. I'll run a title for 7 days, see how it did. Look at the numbers. Run a new main image for 7 days, see how it did. We'll look at the metrics. That's how we're going to do it. Okay. So I would avoid that at all cost. So there is 5 things to avoid. All right. If you're a new seller, if you're hearing this type of advice, I would run, because to me, it's all about building a brand, a sustainable brand, one that's not just dependent on Etsy either. Because as we're doing this, we can eventually take this and we can put it on our own Shopify store. We can take our customer list that we've built and we can take that with us. Okay. And all of the customer loyalty, we can take that with us. Okay. If something did happen to our Etsy account. So I would be very, very careful on who you are following. And I'm not saying we're right about everything, but what I am saying is I'm always looking at, do these different pieces of advice help someone build a brand and not just try to make a quick buck? Because that's really what I'm seeing out there. It's like how to launch this one candle and make $17,000 a month. We've all seen it. You've seen it. I've seen it. And to me, that's like playing the Etsy lottery ticket. Chances are, probably won't get that to win. But if you did, guess what? It's going to probably be hard to get it to win again. And then your business is all dependent on one product. So that's what I would say about some advice that I would stay away from. Hopefully you got value out of this, and let me know in the comments. You going to build a brand, or are you going to chase products? Chris, how'd I do on that recap?
I liked that. And while you were doing that, Scott, we had a couple people give us some examples of when they think the duplicate listing strategy makes sense. And I want to play a quick game with you. So where was the first one? All right. It works for me. For example, I sell a pattern for a quilted table runner. At Christmas, I created a second listing with photos of the runner made up of Christmas fabric and a Christmas title. Scott, same listing, different product.
It technically is a different product in my eyes to a certain degree, because if you are positioning it differently, right? So if I had, again, I think that's a perfect example, a runner that could be all year round, then great. Okay. You can sell that all year round. You're going to have a listing that is going to show that probably in just your normal kitchen with no Christmas stuff, right? But now you're going to put that runner in there and it's designed to be there for Christmas, or it could be used for Christmas. That makes sense to me, because now I've taken that same product, but now I've positioned it for something else. It's almost like saying, like, you can use this washcloth for a baby and you can use this washcloth for women with acne, right? And you're going to target it differently. I'm okay with that versus trying to plug it all in with that. I think that would make more sense.
That to me is a different product. Even if we're delivering them the same digital file,
yep,
right? The purpose for that, the reason someone is buying that is different. And yep, if we say, okay, we have a bass fishing t-shirt. If I took that same design, that same file out of Canva and marketed it as a Christmas bass fishing t-shirt, probably not going to be the same thing. But if I spent the extra 2 minutes to put a Santa hat on that bass, even though the rest of the design is the same, everything else is identical, then yep, yeah, duplicate the listing. That's not duplicating the listing for an SEO benefit. That's duplicating the listing to create a new product. And Jose Roman said, I've done this, but to create different prints for the front, the back is the same. Again, to me, that's a different product, right?
Yeah.
The design is different. The intent of that product is different. We're not just trying to take advantage of the search algorithm to see which keyword ranks us more. That's not the purpose of that listing. The purpose of that listing is to appeal to a different marketer, to appeal to a different design. So I'm curious about the other examples that come in, but those were the two I saw that were like, oh yeah, I do it. And it totally works. To me, that's not the same product. And the pushback we have is that same t-shirt, this same mug, we're going to duplicate this 7 times so that we can create different titles to see which one is better. That's a bad idea. If we're creating different products, absolutely duplicate your listing, keep whatever's relevant, and then change it to be Christmas or bass fishing Santa hat t-shirt instead of bass fishing t-shirt, right? That's common sense and that saves work. What we're advocating against is duplicating it just to test the title to see what you can rank for on the same exact product marketed to the same people.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, again, I think you bring up a great point. And I mean, people in the comments, you know, brought up a great point. That's a different situation in my eyes. And that does make a lot of sense. So anyone in the comments that's saying that they're building a brand or I want to build a brand, if you guys would like our roadmap, we have a 100K roadmap, we call it. It's the roadmap that we used for building my wife's shop to $100,000 in sales. If you would like a copy of that, it's free. You can go ahead in the comments, just write roadmap, and we'll make sure that we get you a copy of that. We've had a lot of people go through that, and people have said it really did help them as far as how to see the process, as far as like when we started and then what we did along the way to get to that point. But you'll see the central focus has always been like, what are we going to sell, and what are we going, and who are we going to sell it to? And probably in the other order, who am I going to sell something to? So what do they want? And then what are the products that we're going to sell to them? Would be, I guess, better. And that's kind of how we look at it. So, all right, cool. So yeah, just put that in the comments. If you guys want a copy of that, just put roadmap in the comments and we'll make sure that we send you a copy of that free. Someone also mentioned ads. They said that they're struggling with ads. Again, we have a guide for that we put together. Again, it's free. If you just in the comments write ads, we'll make sure that we get you a copy of that as well. And guys, all we ask right here right now is we're not selling you anything. You're here. We're helping you. You know, do we have some classes? Yeah, we have some classes. We have our 1-2-3 pod fast track. We have an ads accelerator program. We have certain things, but we're not saying you have to buy that to be successful. But what we are doing is just trying to help you. And the way that you could help us without even paying us directly is smash that like button or subscribe to the channel. That'd be amazing. And then you get access to all of our goodies. You'll get access to them anyway, but it would really help us if you would do that. But we have a playlist that's put together of our Etsy shop audits. I think we're up over 11 or 12 right now. So you could go do a little Netflix binging on that stuff. And we have a private recording session tomorrow. This will be a little shameless plug because it does cost something to attend this. It's under 10 bucks, by the way. But we're doing 3 Etsy shop audits tomorrow. We're recording them privately with our Backstage Pass Club. If you would like to join us on that call and future calls, you can go to brandcreators.com/club. And I might even have a link here. Yeah, there it is. brandcreators.com/club. And you can join. If you are on YouTube, you can just hit join on the YouTube little interface there, and you can go ahead and you can join right there. All right, Chris, are we ready to move on to our next little section here that we wanted to discuss? I think it has something to do with side hustles or something about Etsy side hustles. I think I'm remembering.
And one of your favorite trigger words, Scott. I know we hit a lot of my trigger words today: SEO, duplicate listings, right? One of your favorite ones is passive income. I know that's not a word. That's a phrase, but I want to pull this up here because our friends over at Forbes, Scott, about a week ago at this point, wrote
I wanted to tee that up a little bit. Can I tee that one up a little bit? Guys, if you guys aren't, we'll give you guys a little bit of a backstage pass here. So what we're going to do is we're going to do this bit and then we're going to go ahead and chop it and it'll be its own individual video. So Chris, just let me tee up that real quick.
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. All right, so you might have heard about passive income, side hustles, and now people are talking about, well, you can do it through Etsy. You can create passive income. You can create doing a side hustle. It's so easy. And there's actually 5 products that you can do it with. Actually, that's what Forbes put out on their website. And Chris pulled up the article for me, and we've got a little bit of a problem with these products and the whole thing about passive income and side hustles. So Chris, why don't you pull that up and let's see exactly what they are saying. What are they saying about this passive income side hustle? Is it that easy?
Well, apparently, because Forbes was able to put together a list of not just 2, but 5 Etsy side hustles for passive income in 2024. And Scott, the question that I have for you before we dive into this article is, when you hear the words passive income, beyond that like vomit reaction that you have in your throat, what is like, how would you define passive income? I guess
passive income would be this: I do something once and I never have to touch it again, and money just comes in. Doesn't matter. It just keeps coming. I don't have to do anything anymore. I just did it once and it just keeps coming in. We've heard this a lot with affiliate marketing. They're like, oh yeah, affiliate marketing. You do that, you create a product and then you get paid and you just do that and you're always going to have traffic. You're always going to, nothing goes up and down. Like it's just, yeah, passive income. Now, I do think there is such a thing as somewhat passive income, but it's not 100% of what everyone thinks it is. And I think that's what we'll probably dig into here.
Yeah, I'd say, I think the only example off the top of my head, Scott, that I can think of that's truly passive, and I can't pick the right layout here, apparently. The only thing that I can think of that's truly passive is like interest that you're getting from a savings bond or from your bank account, right? Everything else, not truly passive. There's going to be some work involved. Yep. But Forbes is telling us there's five, and they came up with what they are calling five different ones. And I wanted to dive into each of these here really fast. So the first one that they're saying will create you truly passive income using Etsy in 2024 is selling art patterns and templates. So digital templates for different art projects. Somebody had mentioned in our last live, a table runner, for example, right? What are your thoughts on this as a source of passive income using Etsy?
Well, okay. So can you sell art templates, whether it's for, you know, people that are doing scrapbooking or any of that stuff? Sure, you absolutely can. But are they saying that I just have to basically create these, put them up on Etsy, and then they're going to sell? Like, okay, maybe they should have put in there, like, yes, you can do this. It's very competitive. There is people, or there are people doing it right now, but what we also have to address is they're not having consistent sales forever. So that passive income, it could be $1 this month and it could be $1,000 next month. And next month after that, it could be zero. So is it possible? Yes. But is it truly passive? Now, the side hustle piece, I'd say, yeah, that could be your side hustle. You're going to have to grind at it. You're going to have to work at it, right? Competition there is just intense, right? So could it work? Yeah. Is it truly passive? No.
So I scrolled down because we're gonna get on a theme here. And I think you guys will sense this here in just a second. So that first one was like art templates, right? Maybe it's a design template that somebody can reuse. Number two, how-to guides. Okay. You know, there's a digital product. Yes, we create this kind of once and then it has the potential to sell over and over again. Number three, to me, is the same as number one, Scott. Printable art, right? Yes. With number one, they are doing something with the digital file that we're selling them. But number three is printable art. And then number five is photography as printable art. So we didn't even give five different niches or nachos, depending on who you ask. We gave one example and then tried to spread it out over five different things. So what I'm hearing from this article in general is that if you're selling digital products on Etsy, that is a good way to make passive income in 2024. Scott, for people who are brand new sellers in 2024, is that something that's one, feasible, two, a good strategy, and three, actually a passive way of generating income?
Okay, so we have to address the side hustle piece because as a side hustle piece, that means you have a limited amount of time, okay? So if you have a limited amount of time and you're going to enter the digital template space or the digital art space or digital products space on Etsy, you're gonna be working your butt off. Number one, you are most likely going to be creating these bundles of templates. That's gonna take you a lot of time. Once you do that, now you have to market the product. People think you're just going to slap it up there on Etsy and it's going to sell. That's not the case. What you're going to have to do is you're going to have to do what we do. You're going to have to launch the product. You're going to have to get aggressive with your pricing. You're going to probably want to run ads. You're going to want to tweak the ads. You're going to want to look at the keywords in the ads that are showing for and all of these different things. So the side hustle piece, I almost have a bigger problem with that than the passive income because side hustle means that you're going to do something a couple hours a day and you're good. Now, I'm not saying once you get things up and running, you can spend 2-3 hours a day. You can. It depends on how far you want to push it. But the passive income side of things, like what are we talking as far as the amount? Like when I hear passive income, I want the same every single month. And you could say, well, they're not saying that. They're saying passive income could mean $5 this month and $100 next month, but you're always making money. True, but I look at it like, how do I guarantee that I'm going to make X? And that would be passive income to me. And I don't think there's such a thing out there. Of course, like you said, if you did like a bond or something like that. But even if you look at the stock market, if people are retired right now, you're withdrawing that money out of there. That money might have made 5% last year, and the next year it might make 7-8%. So it's always going to be different. And that passive income that you're pulling, yes, that might be the same, but you're not making the same. So it's a little bit different. So as far as, is it possible? Yes. Do you need time? Yes. What I would do is I would still look at this as building a business, building a brand. So this way here, I could have repeat customers. And that would be more along the lines to help me make it passive, if it even is, because I'd still have to write emails and I'd still have to do the marketing. So is it truly set and forget? No.
I think the better thing we can take away from this is that there's nothing wrong with these as a starting point, right? If we have photography, we have recipe collections, and we want to list those as digital products, that's fine. And that is going to be more passive than selling a print on demand product or hand making things for these spaces as well. But the trap that so many people fall into is like, oh, I can just upload a bunch of PDFs of recipes to Etsy and I'm going to make $1 million as passive income, or $500 or $5,000 a month as passive income. That is incorrect. Are there digital product stores that are doing that? Yes. Are you likely to be one of those digital product stores in 2024? No. So the better way to look at an article like this is to use this as a jumping off point. It's got recipe collections. What niche would that be if you were selling recipes?
And the recipe be cooking?
Yeah. Yeah. So are there other print-on-demand products you could sell to people who are trying to become home chefs? Yeah. Let's spend a little bit of that time we have for this passive side hustle to create some additional products beyond that. For the printable art, why are we selling, or the photography or the art patterns, right? Why are we selling just the printable version of this?
Right.
Take the extra 2 minutes, go over to Printify or Gelato or wherever you want to print this stuff off and create a printed version of it. Why? Not everybody that's looking for that piece of art, even if they love your design and it's better than every other design that exists on Etsy, not everybody wants the PDF version of that that they can print out, or the PNG version. I am entirely too lazy to go find somebody to print that on canvas for me. I'd rather you just send me the canvas. You can't do that. I'm not going to take the time to go find somebody that can. I'm going to move on to the next shop that has my second favorite design that allows me. And if we can incorporate some of those things, not only do we increase the return that we get from our passive side hustle investment, but we increase the likelihood that we have stable income with just a little bit more work. I think, Scott, the biggest takeaway I want people to have is whether it's 2012, 2024, or 2050, there's no such thing as truly passive income, even when you're selling digital products. And if we're already knowing that we're going to put a little bit of work into it, let's put the extra 5, 10 minutes, half an hour a week into this to make it something that will actually last us for the long term. If we come at this from the spaghetti at the wall, spray and pray, I'm just going to create 1,000 digital products approach, we might have one that sells for a little while, but then that goes away and we lose all of the benefit of the time we did put into it. If we instead come at this from the niche-based approach and create a suite of products, digital, physical, print-on-demand, handmade, however you want to incorporate these things that can all appeal to the same buyer, we not only reduce the overall amount of work that we have to put into creating all of these designs to try to get one that ranks and sells, but we also increase the likelihood of repeat buyers. We increase the likelihood of higher cart values, and we increase the likelihood that that income continues with less additional investment of time, energy, effort, and quite frankly, money in a lot of cases, without having to worry about that just going away tomorrow, which it will if somebody outranks our PDF guide on how to create passive income on Etsy.
Okay. I think we made our point. So yes, nothing to me is truly passive. It's going to take work. And I think that there's a lot of opportunity, but it's something that if you're building a business, the best way to make it somewhat passive is to me, have a customer base. So this way here, you do have control of what you can do to get sales on a regular basis. And if all you want to do is make $1,000 per month and you build your customer base, for you to send a handful of emails a month and make that is definitely doable. So is that truly passive? No. Is it lighter? Yes. But you still think about this, and someone put it in the comments earlier. It's a lot of work still. If you're doing pod, you still have to somewhat approve, right? The products, you have to go in there. So you're still going to spend an hour or two a day, even if you're just making $1,000 a month. So yeah, So anyway, any questions, Chris, before we wrap her up for today?
Your frugal friend said, I know that you mainly sell in your Etsy shop in Q4, Scott. If you're recommending people don't sell on Etsy in multiple niches to get through the lean times in one niche, how do you manage selling only one time a year? So the first part of that question, I guess, is in your wife's Etsy shop, are you only selling in Q4? And then two, if you are sales heavy in one area, how do you kind of stretch that income out so that you're not trying to be all over the place just to recapture that love of Q4 throughout the rest of the year?
Well, I have a very interesting answer, and I'm going to be 100% honest and direct with you. We went into Q4 knowing that it was going to be crazy. And so I said to my wife, I go, if you're busy for 3 or 4 months and then you're not, and you're just kind of like doing a few thousand, even few thousand a month, the way that we've always done it is, and this goes all the way back, some of you don't know, but my wife and I owned a photography studio years ago, and we were always busy in Q4. And then we would just take the money and we would bank it, and then we would draw our salary out of that. So if you're only focusing on Etsy right now, there's a good chance, depending on the niche, there's a good chance that you're going to be slower throughout the rest of the year than Q4. And in most businesses, you will be anyway. So how would I deal with that if I was like, that's my full livelihood and I have to make that work? Shopify. I'd start doing outside ads, Facebook, Google ads, which is something that we talked about. I'd be thinking about TikTok shops now, right? That's what I'd be doing. I wouldn't be like, how do I get more of the Etsy customers? How do I get more of my customers? That's what I'd be thinking. So I'm thinking differently. I'm not thinking like, oh, well, I'm slow, so I got to go ahead and sell random stuff over here to make up the bills. You know, no, I'm banking on what happened in Q4. So that's gonna, you know, kind of help offset. Not going to go out and buy, you know, a new furniture set because I made an extra 10 grand, right? And so I'm going to more or less use that as the income through the year, and you're going to work your butt off for that. But then I'm going to be thinking, okay, how do I take my existing products? I don't have to create more. How do I create my existing products, and how do I get more people to buy them that aren't even on Etsy? That's what I'd be doing. And that's why email marketing is so big for us. And honestly, like right now, from what I'm hearing, TikTok shops blowing up. We've got someone that we've been working with for years. She sells on Etsy, but she also sells on her e-commerce store. She sells on Amazon, started doing TikTok shops. And she gave me a report just the other day. I mean, she's done five grand a month just on TikTok shops. And I'm actually going to try to get her on to do a live. And we'll kind of pick her brain a little bit. But yeah, that's what I would do. So, and that's what we're kind of doing. Like I said, my wife's Etsy shop has truly been a side hustle. The minute it feels heavy for her, you know, it's just, we're not gonna go down that road. It's not what she wants to do 40 hours a week. I mean, we're running around with my daughter with volleyball, which I got to get going here shortly because we got to bring her to volleyball practice, you know, beach volleyball. And yeah, we're not about that. So anyway, Chris, hopefully I answered.
I think the myth is that because you sell substantially more, and for most sellers, the biggest chunk of their income comes in Q4, that nothing gets sold throughout the rest of the year. And unless you are in the Santa Claus niche, and even then, right? Like, we started selling Christmas stuff last year in June or July. People started buying like Christmas ornaments and stuff. Mm-hmm. Not all of your sales are going to come in that period. For most sellers, the majority of their sales will, at least for now, because that's when people think of Etsy. Etsy's trying to change that with gift mode and, you know, come to Etsy as the go-to place for gifts. But you're still going to have some income and some activity throughout the rest of the year. And if you don't, then you need to figure out a way to start to include that. The holiday hacking strategy, Scott, that we've talked about in the past, where we create products for different holidays throughout the year, that will work in every niche, right? Even 4th of July Santa Claus, if you're in the Santa niche, would probably work for people who are really into Santa Claus, right? So we just have to think about how to increase those sales throughout the rest of the year. And then from an income perspective, to your point, it comes down to budgeting and self-control. if you are giving yourself a salary, then you know what's in the bank at the end of the year. You know what you're going to probably make until you get to September of next year when Q4 really starts to kick off. And you just have to budget that out if that's the income that you're reliant upon. There's a lot of businesses that are Q4 heavy. In fact, most retail stores don't become profitable until the fourth quarter of the year.
Yeah.
Right. And so you just have to think about it through that lens. Are you going to have more sales in Q4? Most likely, again, depending on your niche, wherever that hot time falls for your niche, like fitness would probably be Q1 of the year after Christmas, before Christmas and New Year's, right? Mm-hmm. When everybody's making their resolutions. But everybody's going to have that high period in their niche. You just have to plan for it and then figure out how to start to balance that out throughout the rest of the year. You're never going to see $100,000 days in March in most niches. But if you could make $10,000 this month, would you take that? Even though you're going to make $100,000 a day in November? Yeah.
Yeah. The one thing I would say there on the holiday hacking that we've talked about, it's really, I mean, every business is going to do that. Like Mother's Day is coming up, then Father's Day is coming up. We just had Easter. We had St. Patrick's Day. My wife's doing stuff there for those holidays. So it's like, you're not doing that. You know, like you're still capitalizing throughout the rest of the year, but you're never going to find something unless you're completely in a niche that is like specific on one thing. And there's like a big day for that, you know, but like if 4th of July is coming up, you know, so you'll probably start doing some stuff for American flag and things like that, that incorporate it in your niche, if you can. So we're always thinking like, what can we create for that upcoming holiday and then launch some. And once you do a round of that, like once you go through a year or two, then you start to build that catalog up, which is really nice. But then my wife, she just enjoys doing it. So she'll make 4 or 5 new designs, put them in the shop. And that's what she's been doing. So it's really kind of lightweight. And she's not stressing out right now because she was stressed out in fourth quarter and now it's kind of taking a break, but still creating. And we're still marketing. We're still sending emails. We're still, you know, thinking of that. And so then it just really comes down to you. And like, to me, like I would be shining the lens on your existing products. Like I would be taking those products and putting them elsewhere, whether it's on your own Shopify, or if it's on TikTok shops, or if it's on, you know, Amazon. And someone had just said in the comments, and I know we're not going to have much time here to talk on this, Chris, but you know, people are saying like, yeah, be careful with TikTok because they're going to get banned. Something just did come out. We're going to talk about it this Friday on our e-com news live that we do now on Fridays, which if you haven't heard, we're doing those on Fridays. We did last Friday, talked about the TikTok shops, how they are number 2 under Amazon for repeat customers, which was pretty insane. We'll be talking about that. Yes, they did just pass the bill, I believe, but
it was Chris, signed while we were on live. It's been signed.
And yeah. So in 30 seconds, Chris, break down what that means.
So basically, unless something happens, TikTok has a 9-month calendar or a clock that started when Biden signed the bill before they have to divest TikTok US to an American-based company. Yep. Or a non-Chinese-based company. Is that likely to happen? Is this likely to end up keeping TikTok out of America forever? No, there's a million different ways that this could unravel. And the way that they ended up getting it passed was by including it with the foreign aid package for things like money to Israel, money to Ukraine. Some of those kinds of things. So there's a lot of hurdles that still have to go through. But basically, as of an hour ago, the clock has started for TikTok to either mount some sort of a legal challenge, which will come out, or have, you know, the actual divestment to a non-Chinese company.
I love this. Cheesy Doodle says clock started, TikTok, TikTok. That's awesome. Who was it? Someone wanted to know. Oh, I think it was Heather. That's fine. Heather wanted to know, how can you view the news, the e-com news? Yeah. Well, number one, we're going to be 12 PM Eastern time. We did one last week. So it's in our, I think we have a playlist now that's e-com news. So if you go to our YouTube channel, go under, playlist, you'll see e-com news. It's one of our more recent videos that was posted too. So if you check that out, you'll see it. But we're going to be doing those on Fridays, and that will be pretty much not focused on Etsy as much. It will be more on the landscape of e-com. And really right now, the hot things are TikTok shops. TikTok getting banned is one of them, obviously, but TikTok shops, Temu, which we talked about that as well, Amazon, and then Shopify. So those are like the main areas that we'll be talking about. Alibaba in there. We did a discussion there on Alibaba on how they're going to try to compete with Temu. So all that stuff. I mean, Chris and I we're in that world. So we figured we would just create our own little e-com news hour and talk about stuff on a Friday and kind of wrap things up there. So anyway, that's what we're doing. If you guys have not yet subscribed to our channel, if you would do that, that would be amazing. We are so close to 100,000 subscribers, so close, and we need your help to get there. So if you would do so, that would be awesome. And then if you would smash the like button on this, that would be great as well. Chris, anything else real quick? We've got like 1 minute and then I've got to run. I've got to hit the car and head on the road.
Don't hit your car. That's not nice to the car. No, I think we're good. I think we can wrap it up for today and you can calmly exit your office, get into the garage and enjoy your experience.
Probably get a snack.
Okay. So yeah, make that pit stop before you have to make a pit stop. That's a good idea.
Yeah. But yeah, guys, if you guys have any other things that you want to have us discuss on any of these upcoming lives, also, if you guys hear of any interesting news, we've had some people submit some news to us, which has been really, really helpful. If you would do that at support@brandcreators.com, again, that's support@brandcreators.com, send it our way. Who knows? Maybe we'll discuss it. Maybe we'll talk about it. Anyway, that is going to wrap up today's live stream. Hopefully you got a ton of value. Hopefully you know now what you should be focusing on, at least from our perspective, and really just building a solid brand that can work on Etsy, off Etsy, and really just build out a business that will be with you for a long time. All right. And the things that I mentioned in this episode was the roadmap. If you want our 100K roadmap, just put roadmap in the comments. If you want our Etsy ads guide, put ads in the comments. And was there another one? Oh, I didn't mention it, but I'll throw it in there anyway. If you want our email marketing guide email, put that in the comments and we'll make sure that we get that to you. All right. So guys, that's it. That's going to wrap it up. As always, take care, take action, have an awesome, amazing day. We'll see you next time. Take care, guys.